Welcome to the Stuttgart Missional Community Church Sermon Podcast. SMCC is a multicultural church serving the English-speaking community in Stuttgart, Germany. For more information or to contact us, visit us on the web at smcchurch.net. That's smcchurch.net.
Well, the sweet spirit of the Lord is in the house today, and I'm so privileged to preach the Word of God today. If you'd open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That's where we're going to get to work today. We've been studying 1 Corinthians for the past several weeks, and studying a pretty messed up church and how not to do some things. You know, you can learn a lot from people, even who are messing a lot of things up. Amen. You can learn how not to do things. If you have a boss who is really just clueless and a horrible leader, then you can learn all the things not to do from him or her, right? And here we have an example of the church, the early church, Corinthians, messing up a lot of things. Just kind of lost their way, and Paul is writing to them a letter of correction. You know, if we love people, sometimes we have to love them enough to say what is difficult to hear. All right? It's not easy, right? We don't like doing it. We do it maybe with our children, maybe with our spouse, right? But when it comes to other people in the church, it's like, well, why should I say something? It's not really my business, not my circus, not my monkeys, right? I mean, that's kind of what we say. But the truth is, if we really love people, if we really love them, we'll speak truth into their life. And here's Paul writing to a people I believe he loves. He loves them. He's taken the time to write them several times, and he's trying to bring correction and help them along their way. And today, it's just as applicable to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 14. I do not write these things to make you feel ashamed, but to admonish you as beloved children. Here we see the heart of Paul. I'm not writing these things to you to make you feel ashamed or guilty. I'm writing these things to you because I love you, as a father loves his children. Continuing on in verse 15, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, but I became your father in Christ, Jesus, through the gospel. I encourage you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Verse 18, some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you if the Lord wills. And I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. One more time, verse 20, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Verse 21, what do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Paul is dealing with several issues. One of those issues is they've got this whacked out leader in the Corinthian church. We've talked about whoever this person is. We don't really know, but that they are not following the teaching of Paul, Apollos, and Peter, but they have kind of gone their own way. And here he is confronting that by saying, hey, I'm coming myself, and we'll see what this person has to say for themselves, because the cross of Jesus Christ, the gospel, is not demonstrated in speech, but in power. What kind of power is Paul talking about? Well, we can infer from many other of his writings that he is talking about power in the Holy Spirit. Power in a demonstrative way, a way we can see, a manifest way that Jesus is present, God is present in the church. Today, Paul is, you know, for a while he's been correcting a lot of things, but today he's really kind of encouraging them and saying, hey, imitate me. Now this sticks out to me. And maybe it sticks out to you, because here is a man saying, imitate me. Right? And he doesn't just say it once. We'll see it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But here Paul is saying, imitate me. Follow me. Do what I do. This is the model of New Testament training, right? I don't think in the New Testament, as far as I know, you're not going to see a reference to a particular Bible school or theological seminary. But you're going to see basically what we call today is on-the-job training in the church. Now, that isn't to say that Bible schools and seminaries are bad things. They're not. But on-the-job training is very, very important. A little while ago, Stacy and I had a Bible school student who was graduating contact us about the possibility of coming to work in Stuttgart as a children's pastor. Now, we've had a children's pastor before. It's not the person who came. It's somebody who applied to come. And during the vetting process, Stacy and I asked, well, what are you doing right now in ministry? And this person replied, well, you know, I'm going to school. I'm a student. You know, I'm not really doing anything, you know, in the church. I'm not really volunteering. I said, well, we're not interested. Why weren't we interested? You know, this person had an education. They were learning how to be a professional children's pastor. But where, for us, that's not where we see the heart, right? If you're not willing to do it for free, then we probably don't want you, right? Even though we probably would pay you. You know, if you're not compelled to do this, if you're not driven, if you're not called, if you can do something else and still be happy, then maybe this is not the place for you, all right? Because the call of God is important, right? The compulsion to preach this gospel bears upon the minister's heart. And so we don't want people who are just professionals. We want people who are called, right? People who demonstrate power, people who are actually doing the work of the ministry. This isn't a job, it's a vocation. It's a place where you're called to be. I don't believe it's just exclusive, though, to those who have vocational calls in ministry, right? Maybe my vocation is in ministry, but your vocation is as a leader in the military, or you have a position of authority where you work. That is no less a Christian vocation than what I do, right? Because in everything we say and do, we're to point to Jesus. Amen. We're to lead people to Jesus. And here Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me, right? And if we are to imitate Paul, what are we to do? We're to be leaders. We're to be leaders. And so today I want to talk to you about leadership. I want to talk to you about following the leader. Of course, I probably don't have to talk very long about who the leader is. You can just give me the Sunday school answer. Who is the leader? Jesus, right? Sunday school answer. And when in doubt, the answer is never C, it's Jesus, right? Okay, in Sunday school. It's always Jesus. And this is the answer for us today too. We are following Jesus' example. John 13, verse 14, Jesus says this after he finished washing the disciples' feet. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Jesus is the Alpha. It starts with Jesus. He is the Omega. It ends with him. He is our example. And when Paul says, follow me, what he means is, and he says it later, follow me as I follow Christ. And even here he says, to remind you of my ways in Christ Jesus, right? To remind you of my ways in Christ. Because Paul was a man. Like many men and many women, he has failings. He has shortcomings. And he's telling the Corinthians, follow me as I follow Christ. Because Jesus' example for us is perfect. It's perfect. And matter of fact, it's so perfect, it can be daunting to even try to follow Jesus. Right? I'm supposed to be like Jesus. How can I be like Jesus? I'm not perfect. His example is perfect. His expectation upon us is not our ability to be perfect. Okay? And Jesus is our cornerstone. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, our cornerstone. The cornerstone set, the first stone set in a building that sets the orientation for every other stone. Right? And so Jesus being our cornerstone sets the orientation of our life. I would say to you, though, to those who would look at Jesus' example and say it's impossible, I'd say, yeah, it's impossible. It's impossible for you. It's impossible for me. However, we know that nothing is impossible with God. With God. And so how do we follow Jesus? Well, I can tell you, you're going to live a life of disappointment and failings and just depression if you try to follow Jesus on your own, right? You just try to tick the boxes. You just try to, you know, do the I'm a good boy list. I'm a good girl list. You cannot follow Jesus unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God in us, empowering us, leading us, guiding us every day, giving us the strength we need to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus. And if we try this on our own, we are doomed to fail. We are doomed just to constantly fail. There is no way to win. But when we become Christians and we give our heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and makes our heart his home. And through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we are able to follow Jesus' example. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is through the Holy Spirit that this is attainable, right? Maybe you've got one or two of these good, right? Maybe you've got, hey man, I'm pretty peaceful. I've got that down. Or maybe you're faithful and people can count on you. But the fruit of the Spirit is all of these things. And the Spirit working in us allows us to follow Jesus' example. I said all that to say that Paul is not pointing to himself as the supreme example. What he's saying is, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow my example in following Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, he says, I urge you, be imitators of me. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So first, we follow his example. Secondly, we follow their example. So not just Paul, right? Not just Paul, the early leaders of the church, all were basically living New Testaments to the early church of how to live and how to follow Christ. Remember that the Bible wasn't put down for everybody to have until, I think, what was it, early 15th century was a copy of the Bible really available to a lot of people, right? So here we are, we have the early church, maybe in the first 50 years after Christ's death, and they're just leading by example. They didn't have anything else to point to. Follow me as I follow Christ. Most of us have no problem following Jesus, right? At least accepting that authority. Maybe we have a problem following Jesus, but at least we accept Jesus' authority, right? No problem following Jesus. It's when Jesus puts other people in our lives to follow that we kick against it a little bit, right? Like somebody gives spiritual authority to somebody and they call you out on your junk and you're like, who are you to judge me, right? Have you ever considered for a moment that perhaps Jesus is putting people in your life to sharpen you, to challenge you? Right? So that on the day of judgment, when we meet Jesus face to face and we have to give account for our works, that we can hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my master's rest. Is it possible that Jesus is actually using iron to sharpen iron, as he says in the Bible he will do? And sharpening iron is not an easy process. There are sparks kicked up, the metal is transformed, it's heated up, it bends, it warps. And today I want to tell you that Jesus is at work in the church. But many of us kick against the methods of Christ. And the methods of Christ is God uses men and women. He uses people. He uses people to proclaim the gospel, to see people saved, to go out to all the nations, right? To go into your cubicle, to go into your workout space, to go into the tire flipping thing or whatever you guys do in CrossFit, you know, all that. You know, he's with you in all of that, right? He sends you out. He sends us out. And so the world being one to the cross is through men, right? Through people. When I say men, I mean universally here, mankind, right? And in the church, God is using each other to sharpen one another. But we don't like this. We don't like this. And I would say to you, when God is using somebody in your life and when they say something to you, and you immediately rebuke and like get a disdain for what they just said, there's probably some truth in what they're saying. Probably. I'm only speaking from my experience. I worked for Stacy's dad for a few years, like 14 or something years, right? A long time. We started out as colleagues. He was the worship pastor. I was the children's pastor. And in the course of our career at CT Church, the pastor emeritus, or the founder of the pastor, retired. And Doug was elected unanimously as the pastor. I've never been part of a church to elect anybody unanimously. It was pretty awesome. And he's still the pastor there. And I became his employee, basically, then, you know. We were kind of co-workers, and now I started working for him. And once in a while, from time to time, he would call me in his office for a sit-down chat. Never good, usually. I mean, if he wanted to talk to me, we could, you know, he was my father-in-law. We hung out a lot. We could have just talked around his couch. But when he calls me in the office, he says, sit down. And, you know, he'd bring some correction into my life. And I tell you, I would kick against it. I'd get mad, and he could see it. You know, I'm not one for hiding what's on my... I'm not good at hiding things, okay? Which makes me probably not the greatest Christian in the world, right? Because I'm always supposed to have a smile on my face. That's what Christians are supposed to do, I guess. But not me, right? I mean, if I'm not happy about something, you're probably going to know it, right? Unfortunately, I'm sorry about that. But, you know, so he'd be sitting there, and I'd be just like, oh, just gripping that chair or whatever, and you know, offer, but this and but that, and maybe even say things I would later regret, right? And then I go out, and I, you know, one thing that's been pretty consistent in my life has been a life of prayer and Bible reading. And I get alone with God and be like, he's totally right. He's totally right. And I'd have to go in, and I'd have to apologize and say, I'm sorry. And okay, so after about 40 times of this, I've kind of learned my lesson. Okay, God is using people to make me better. I am such a... I'm not a great pastor. I know this. I have a lot of room to grow. But man, you are so blessed that you didn't get me like 10 years ago, man. You are. Because God used, I mean, and you know what? He would never consider himself a mentor. We never had a formal discussion, you know, I want to mentor you. And you're my mentor, you know. But he just set the example of what it means to follow Christ. He just set the example as a pastor. And, you know, I just found it a joy to follow him, you know. Not all the time, but God just used him to sharpen me. And I just realized that's how God does it. He uses our spouse to sharpen us, you know. But, you know, something in the Bible that says a prophet is without honor in his home. And sometimes our spouse is without honor in our home, you know. Like they say things and we kind of... blow it off, right? When somebody else says it, and it kind of just makes us give that knee-jerk reaction, I want to caution you to pause for a moment. Pause for a moment and seek out the truth. Is the Holy Spirit using that person to say something difficult in your life to help form you into a better Christian? Let's not kick against that anymore. Let's find somebody to follow. Let's find an example to follow. I hope... like Paul, my goal, really, if I was to have a life mission statement, it's to be a leader worth following. It's to be somebody worth following. That I could say to everybody I serve, follow me as I follow Christ. That's my standard. I don't always measure up to it myself, you know. But that's my standard. Follow me as I follow Christ. Find a leader you can follow. I would hope that you're here because you found that leader, and hopefully you're following. And hopefully when you hear a word that seems harsh and you kick against that, you'll pause. And you'll say, maybe God is using that preached word today to speak to my heart and change my life. If I'm not that leader, find somebody you can follow. Find a leader you can follow. Find somebody who you can say, that person's followed. They got a heart after God. They are hungry. They are living the greatest commandments. They love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and they love their neighbor as they love themselves. And I'm going to follow that person. I'm going to follow their example. When you're looking for a leader to follow, you're not looking for perfection, because that's a fool's errand. One perfect man has lived, and he is at the right hand of the Father. So you can look all day long here on earth for the perfection, but you won't find it. You're looking at the life of that person. You're looking for the example, but even that, beyond that, look at the heart. Look at the heart. Look at what the heart of that person is. And finally, when you're following someone else's example, imitate the good, not the bad. And I think Paul is saying here, you know, to remind you of my ways in Christ. He's saying, hey, prayer, follow me in prayer. Follow me in prayer. In the power of the Holy Spirit, follow me in the power of the Holy Spirit. when I'm sarcastic and short with people, don't follow that, right? When I'm terse and angry in my preaching, don't follow that, right? When I love people, when I lovingly rebuke them, follow that. Follow my ways there. Basically saying, hey, when I'm following Christ, follow me. But the things that don't line up with God's word, I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry. I'm a work in progress as well. And so, of course, we test those we follow by the word of God, right? We test that. We test what they say. We test their example according to the perfect example. Who is the standard? Jesus. Jesus is the standard, period. Let no one tell you differently. Lastly, our example. What about our example? In 1 Timothy, Paul writes, let no one despise you for your youth. How old was Timothy? In his 20s or 30s, like most of you. Like most of you, okay? Not everybody, not me, all right? But most of you are in your 20s and 30s. He said, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And I would say to you, what is your next evolution in your walk with Jesus Christ? And this is a source, I think, of frustration, not just for me, but for many pastors and for many leaders in churches, is people being willing to take the next evolution in their walk with Jesus. And we talked about this a little bit at the men's breakfast, about what this looks like. Of course, we're all lifelong followers of Christ, but are we lifelong small group members? Are we lifelong church congregants, church attenders, or are we leaders, right? What is stopping you, Mr. or Mrs. small group member, for the last 7 years from leading a small group? I mean, at some point, you know, we get tired of just sitting. I don't know about, aren't you just tired of just sitting there? Sitting there, absorbing every week? Is it possible that God may have, he's gotten you to a place where you are ready to lead somebody else, to set the example for somebody else? Or is it, are you intimidated by that idea of saying to somebody else, follow me as I follow Christ? That's pretty intimidating. I admit it. I admit it. And it keeps a lot of us from ministry, right? But it's going to keep a lot of us out of heaven too. Because we want to hold on to these idols, these things we don't want to give up. And so we're reluctant to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Because we know we have idols in our lives. We know we have things that we worship greater than Jesus Christ. And so we don't want to say to somebody, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. Because I'm not quite ready to surrender this yet. But I would say, give it all to him. Follow him wholeheartedly, and be willing to take the next step in your walk with Jesus Christ. I mean, when are you actually going to be ready to be a leader? Is it when you're perfect? Is it when you've got it all together? We've all established nobody would be a leader in the church if that was the requirement. Nobody would be. I wouldn't be preaching. Nobody would be serving your kids downstairs. Nobody would be even ushering here, because it just doesn't exist. It's not perfection. It's growth. No one aspires to be an E2 or an O2 forever, right? Nobody aspires to be a private in the Army forever, your entire career. You served 30 years. What rank did you acquire? E2, man. E2. I'm still making $600 a month. I've been in 30 years. That's awesome, right? Or if you're an officer, you know, I was in 33 years. I left as a LT, right? I left in the Army, right? What are you, in the Navy? You're still a scrub, right? Right, okay. So, you know, both ways, right? You're just like at the bottom of the toll. We don't aspire that, right? In our careers, we aspire to move up the chain, right? We aspire to greater things. But somehow in the church, we lose that drive, right? Why? Why is that? I have lots of I thinks, but I know none of them are really will withstand the scrutiny of Scripture, right? Because God is not calling people to be lifelong congregants. I don't even know what that means. God has a place for you in setting the example for someone else. God has a place for you in leading. One amen. Okay, so But lead, you know, I just think the whole, I think all the excuses are lame, basically, is what I want to get to. And I don't know if I wanted to say it just like that. I don't want to make anybody upset. But really, when you think about it, most of it comes down to our time, our money, our resources, us. And that's why we're not serving. And those are all lame. You are important. Your family's important, right? But as a church, we're called to love and serve one another as well, right? And we need to make time. And believe me, there's time. I can watch a few less episodes of Elementary in order to be a better servant, okay? I can play a few less rounds of golf in order to be a better servant. I can skip some things I want. It's when it comes to sacrifice that most of us quit, right? We don't quit in some things, but sometimes in church, that's where we quit. I mean, I can't go on vacation to Croatia every weekend because I got to leave a small group. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes it takes commitment. Sometimes it means saying no to immediate gratification so you can say yes to things that will reap long-term rewards. It's tough preaching, amen? All right. Live your life in such a way as you can say with Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow Jesus in love. Follow him in joy. Follow him in humility and servanthood, in sacrifice, in suffering, and ultimately in victory. Amen? Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow the leader. Find someone you can follow. Find a place where you can lead others. This is it, man. This is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. The Church of Jesus Christ is called to reach out, and we're not going to reach out with people who are content with being congregants. It's going to have to be a people who are aspiring to leadership, to lead others, to invest in others and say to them, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow my example. I'm going to set the best example I can for you, and I'm going to show you how it looks to, in 2017, how it looks to follow Jesus, what this looks like, how this is manifest in our day-to-day life. This is how it works in the office. This is how it works in the school. This is how it works as we come and go through our daily life. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus. Church, that's what we need. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ needs. We don't need more followers. We need more leaders. We need more people willing to take the next step in the evolution of their faith, willing to step out and take responsibility for someone else. Until we're ready to do that, we are perpetual 28-year-olds living in their mom's basement playing Xbox. That's what we are. Because we have somebody to take care of us, we have somebody to look over our needs, but we refuse to take responsibility for anything or anyone else. That's just not the way it was designed. We're called to be leaders, every one of you. There are pre-leaders and there are leaders, period. Pre-leaders, leaders. If I'm not getting you ready to be leaders, then what am I doing? I'm just like putting on a show, right? We're here to become leaders. That's what it's all about. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for setting that wonderful example in Jesus Christ. Jesus, you are a leader. You are someone we can follow, Jesus. But God, we understand and we accept today that you have put people in our lives that you expect us to follow. Help us, Lord God, to follow leadership as they follow you, to follow their example as they follow you, Jesus. And Jesus, I pray that you would stir the hearts of each and every one of us, O God, to live our lives in such a way and to say with boldness, follow me as I follow Jesus. Follow me as I follow Christ. Let me show you how to follow Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you empower us to follow that example? Holy Spirit, would you give us the confidence and faith we need to move forward in setting the example and becoming the leaders you've called us to be? Jesus, I give you thanks and I give you praise that you have not called us to stagnant congregationship, but you have called us to grow the kingdom of God, that you've called us for greater things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the SMCC Sermon Podcast. Be sure to visit us on the web at smcchurch.net. That's smcchurch.net.